Hi, I'm WAER News Director Chris Bolt. Thanks for listening to WAER on NPR One and WAER.org. An iconic musical group with roots in Woodstock and Monterey Pop will be playing at the Ridgestock Festival in Chittenango this weekend. Live Space Entertainment's Tom Honan and I got a chance to talk with Canned Heat drummer Fito De La Parra and manager Skip Taylor about the band's 50 years of history. Going back to when Canned Heat sort of got together, can you give us a little bit of an idea about how the band got together and when you started enjoying some success?
It's been quite a struggle and quite an uphill battle. But let's start with the history. The band started in late 1965 or early 66 and was founded by Alan Christie Wilson and Robert Height. They had several different lineups with different musicians until the first more or less recognizable lineup came in with Henry Vestine on the guitar, Larry Taylor on the bass, and Frank Cook on the drums. And I came into the band in late 1967. My first gig with Canned Heat was actually playing with The Doors, 1967. And finally, in 1967 and in 68, we recorded the Boogie with Canned Heat album, which contained On the Road Again, the original version, not the Willie Nelson version, the original. And it became quite a big hit in Texas. And then it became a hit all over the world. And that was the beginning of our great adventure.
Well, I'm so tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again. Well, I'm so tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road again.
Fito, how did you come to join the band? What were you doing prior to that, and how did that come together?
Well, I'm originally from Mexico City, and I started playing drums since I was about 12 years old. I've been extremely lucky that I never had to do anything else except playing drums. And even down in Mexico, I was doing quite well. I played with some of the most famous bands there. Mexico City had its own subculture of rock and rollers there, you know. We were copying rock and roll from the United States, of course, you know. I guess Mexico was the second country where rock and roll music was played. I went to see Bill Haley and Jerry Lee Lewis. And shortly after, this guy Javier Batiz came to Mexico and turned us on to rhythm and blues music and to the blues. Javier came and brought that influence, that black music, into Mexico City. I really fell in love with that kind of music, and my dream to come to the United States and play that kind of music started hearing in my head. And eventually I married an American girl and came here in 1966 and was, as I said, very happy and very lucky to join Canned Heat in 67.
A lot of people relate the music back to like the Monterey Pop Festival and that era. What do you remember from that particular event? Was it sort of a launching of the group into a larger audience?
Yes, absolutely. The group enjoyed also, they had a great performance. I was not in the band at the time of the Monterey Pop Festival, but I do know that they were on the cover of Downbeat magazine and they got a great review from Pete Welding. That was the beginning not only of the movement of the whole renaissance of the late 60s music, you know, a fantastic movement of music, but it was also the beginning for Canned Heat to get recognition.
But did you ever wake up and them bullfrogs on your mind? What did you ever wake up with them bullfrogs on your mind?
Skip, early in Canned Heat, when they were growing and finding their way, I guess there's a story about a club called the Family Dog in Denver.
When we played the Family Dog, and unfortunately we had an incident there where there was a plant of marijuana, and we all got arrested and eventually had to hire a high-profile attorney and put up bail, and the only way we could get money at that time was to sell the other half of our publishing, which Who knew down the road our publishing would become worth literally millions of dollars, and we don't have any of it.
The other iconic moment back at that time was Woodstock, where Canned Heat was. What do you remember back from there, again, as it was important to the band?
Actually, in my book, Living the Blues, I tell up my whole story from the moment I woke up until the moment I went to sleep.
On that day?
One of the funny moments, for example, is when we were waiting for a helicopter to try to arrive to the show because it was impossible to get there driving. This helicopter shows up, and some of your colleagues from the press run to the helicopter and jump in. The guy in the press goes, "Yes, we're going to report the news." So Bob grabs the little guy and hurls him out of the helicopter and tells him, "No, we are going there, and we're going to make the news." We were one of the few bands that actually had all our equipment there available and all our members.
And we had the number one record on the whole East Coast at that moment.
That's right.
Going up the country was basically number one up and down the whole Eastern Seaboard. And yet the people that were there, 400,000 people, didn't really know who Canned Heat was because we'd played very few gigs on the East Coast. The sun was setting, and it was a magical time. And when Canned Heat came on there, 400,000 people rose up out of the rain and the mud, and it was truly the most magical moment that I've ever experienced in my lifetime, period.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's a great memory.
Well, Woodstock had a lot to do with our success worldwide because the festival itself became an icon,
right,
for everybody to recognize, you know, the musical revolution.
And Woodstock, when the movie came out, Canned Heat was in the original cut, as was Jefferson Airplane. Warner Brothers decided they wanted to play it 5 times a day instead of 4 times a day. They had to eliminate 12 minutes from the original film. The 12 minutes became Canned Heat and Jefferson Airplane getting cut because they were non-Warner Brothers acts.
Wow. Huh?
That instance, as much as the Denver bust, was another major disappointment for the band and another financial woe as well, you know.
Yeah. You know, certainly people relate to Canned Heat because of the hits and that song being on the commercial, obviously. What do you do now in terms of, you know, the songs that are more pop rock as opposed to blues?
I don't follow the pop scene or the current contemporary music thing.
Mm-hmm.
It really doesn't say anything to me. And a couple of times I watched the Grammy Awards. I saw a lot of young musicians trying very hard and doing their best, but I didn't see stuff that I'm looking in music for, like solos and improvisation. Blues music is very important because of that, and jazz too. Those are truly American cultural forms that represent feeling and improvisation.
This year we're looking forward to maybe a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Blues Foundation, and now that they have a new CEO, she actually came to see the band last year in upstate New York. We're just hoping that this year, finally, we get a little bit of recognition from the Blues Foundation.
It will be well earned, for sure.
Yeah, well, very good. Thank you guys for your time so much.
And don't forget to boogie.